Great Peninsula. At 10:06, time for the Saturday special for this Saturday morning. Here's MZ.
Yeah, so Rick, can a sign falling into the highway be classified as an act of God?
I think if you hear it, yes. If it made a noise when it fell, then no. That's how that works, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. The reason I'm on the phone now is because of that traffic incident that you reported a minute ago. Oh my God, I was so frustrated until I heard your report. I was just fuming. I was saying, don't these people know who I am and that I have to get to the radio station to do a radio show? My God. But anyhow, it was clearly, we're going to chalk that up as an act of God because...
You could say it's a sign.
Right. So anyhow, it's a sign. Oh, no. God, that's a terrible pun. Anyhow, so I guess we're going to open the radio show. For everybody's information, as if they care, I'm on Park Avenue where I detoured. I'm headed to the station through Capitola by the Sea, and the traffic is fine here. But it was so clogged that it made it impossible for me to make it to the radio on time. So, with everybody's indulgence, we're going to conduct what we hope will be a worthwhile Saturday special, where we're going to talk about the hospital and healthcare costs. The first hour, we have the best guest we can possibly have on that subject. That's Pamela Fugit-Hetrick. And then, if all goes well or as planned, we're going to talk about asexuality during the second hour. So that's our tease for the Saturday special. Let's start it officially.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Neither rain.
Good morning, now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Am I on the air now? I didn't even know. Rick, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, listen, okay, for gosh sakes, you know, I wasn't hearing. When I heard the music, I thought I was not on the air, so I shut my mouth. But I guess I was on the air all that time, huh?
Yes.
And could have. Okay, sorry. Well,
we're all here listening to you.
Oh, my God, I have egg on my face.
No, you don't.
Well, anyhow, Ma, thank you for chiming in there. That means that you're there. And
yes, I'm here.
It means that it's a K-Day at the radio station.
Yes, if anyone...
It means that anybody who wants to come and make a donation to the station and get a free book in the process, right, and the suggested donation is only $15, they can come and get something that's worth way more than $100 at no extra charge at all and no extra donation, and that is an inscription from you, a personal inscription.
And I'll enjoy chatting with whoever comes.
Right. So anyhow, 2300 Portola Drive in Santa Cruz is the address if you want to come on down and say hey to Kay. You know, we're nothing special to watch through the window doing the Saturday special. But chatting with Kay is always a fun blast.
Oh, here I am. Michael, also your guest is here.
I know, Pam Fugit-Hetrick. So,
I took the same route you did, go through Capitola.
You know, you were smart and started way before I did. Now, I will confess that Rick called me plenty of time, I think, where I could have gotten there, but I was packing, you know, to go to the KSCO North after the radio show today, so it was just a way I could get out on time make it. But that's okay because we're doing the radio show this way. Pamela, thank you for saying that I called you yesterday.
Oh, no worries. Happy to be here. I'm glad I was in town to do it.
Sort of a follow-up on a program that we did several weeks ago where you helped us out then, too. I told the story about
if we lose him, I can tell his story.
Yeah, what was his story? And then we'll try and work Michael back in.
Okay, so Michael was having some symptoms that he was concerned about, didn't know if it was stress, something physical, whatever that might have been. So wanted to get that checked out. Found out about a screening sort of test that was available, not covered by insurance, and decided, you know, it was affordable, and he decided to go with that. The results came back that, gave him quite a scare. And it was sort of like, you need to go have this procedure done right now. Went to another facility, got involved with his doctors, had that procedure, and found out that he had had a bunch of, the scare was for nothing. The test was a false positive. And there was all sorts of costs incurred, not just the initial screening, but, you know, essentially
so
being...
So two tests for the price of two,
yeah,
and then some.
And then some, and then being on the table for this, you know, rather major procedure, which it turns out that he didn't need at all. So, you know, the whole thing was, you know, is there any kind of way to get your money back when it's a false positive like that?
And it's not just a financial issue, because when you're in that window where you've had a false positive, I mean, the mental aspect is almost so than the financial.
Yeah, he was pretty convinced, like, I need to do this procedure or, you know, something very bad will happen to me. So it's, you know, I totally understand why he went there, what he did, but his concern is, how do people navigate the healthcare system, you know, because we're not doctors. We're not, able to make those kind of decisions. We take the expertise of the people that we seek out their help for on this. And so if you're out thousands of dollars and the health insurance company was out many thousands of dollars for the part they paid for, plus putting through the, you know, trauma of it, and yet, you know, they're really... was no out there was it was a non-event an event but a non-event
sure. I'm interested to hear where the show goes, because there's no coupons for the medical system. You can't go to your Sunday paper and clip out, you know, a free this or a free that.
No.
You're either fully devoting yourself to whatever procedures and the costs incurred, or you stay away. There's
mm-hmm.
no middle ground.
There's no middle ground.
How do you navigate the financial system? And what does that entail without, you know, just completely saying, okay, have at me, cut me up, chop me up, and I'll empty my wallet for you?
Right. And so it's hard to be an informed consumer when, if you go to purchase a car, for an example, you can go to a million different online sites, Car and Driver, whatever. It's been crash tested, thrown against walls, thrown against everything else, and you know what it is you're buying. Do I want the sunroof? Do I want the automatic or the stick? And we spend so much time, you know, evaluating a purchase like that. You go to the doctor, there's no prices on the, there's no sticker, there's no let's choose options.
No one's had you before.
And
it
if
can
they
say
told you options, you probably didn't understand the language that they told it to you in. And, you know, so how do you really navigate that sort of system? And
because you can't know you. You can't know your insides. All of us probably say we feel good,
mm-hmm.
but how many times will a standard test result in either a false positive or something mm-hmm. worse?
And even tried and true tests like, you know, pap smears for women or mammograms. How many times have you heard, okay, start at this age? Oh, no. Well, if you're in this category, then you start earlier or do it every year. Oh, after you've had 10 negatives, do it every 3 years, 2 years. I mean, all the experts don't even agree on this stuff. And so you're left with one of the things is, unlike the car, where it's, you're spending money out of your checkbook to pay for that car, you know what the payments and the obligation will be. When you go into the healthcare system, most of us are counting on our insurance policies to pay a giant portion of whatever it is that we're doing. So you have one, I don't even know what it is or how much it costs, and I want this other Enigma entity to pay for it.
In your experience, how many people really know their insurance policy inside and out,
minimal,
or as well as they should?
Minimal. Most of the time, people will call me and they want to ask me a question about their policy, and it would take me, you know, I have a lot of clients, so I mean, I know which plan I have, but if I ask them, okay, while I'm looking you up in the system, which policy do you have? Anthem. Okay, that's a company, not a policy. Like, which one? I'm like, do you happen to have your ID card on you? No. Okay. So trust me, if you're in a car accident, you want, and they rifle through your wallet, you want them to find that. Find my ID, find my contact information, and find my insurance card.
Sure.
So, you know, for those of you, let's start there. Put that in your wallet. And then know what's in your policy. And, you know, granted, those things are written in, you know, some language other than normal speaking English.
Sure.
But they do have now part of the health reform law that is one of the positives is they've kind of come up with this standardized form that says, take your health plan policy and make it fit in this 8-page format so that when you look at one to the next, that 8-page format is the same. So, you know, that those new summary of benefits are out and available. If nothing else, most of your companies have a website you can go to, anthem.com or whatever, HealthNet. Log in your information, your date of birth, your policy number, and your full policy will show up there. It's probably good to at least read the 8-page summary. You don't have to read the 62-page long version, but at least know what your deductible is, what applies to your deductible, what doesn't. If you had some kind of, like they used two or three examples. One is if you're having a baby. How would this plan work if you were having a baby? And every single one of those 8-page things now have that summary of this plan would work by you would pay this much till the point and then however it works after that.
The companies really do a good job of making the consumer feel empowered because if you look shop around for quotes, they'll break it down into little boxes that seem so easy and such a step in the right to where it'll be, here's your cost, here's what you get. Next box. It's two or three options and that's it. And you think, oh, great, two or three options. I've memorized this. It's no problem. You read the terms of use and all the other back pages. And they're, as you say, they're hundreds of pages long at times.
Yeah.
With such varying degrees
of coverage.
A short
one's about 62 pages.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, if everybody, most people that purchase insurance, you know, we're not sick at the time that we do it. So you can think about all the what-ifs. And as a joke on my banner out in front of my office, I have a crystal ball on it. Because really, I mean, who knows? You don't know what it is that you're going to need. Some people know, okay, I'm younger and I'm planning a family or that type of thing. So you can kind of shop it that way. But for most of us, it's one of those purchases that unlike the car, we hope, knock on cement or whatever this is, that we never are going to use it. I'm going to pay all this money, and I really hope I don't even need it. You know, and it's a weird purchase. Insurance by nature is that, whether it's your house, your car, your body, whatever, you buy it, and you hope that you've wasted your money.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't want to be sick. You don't want to be injured. You don't want any of the reasons why you had to use it in the first place. But you have it in case you have symptoms, you know, you start thinking you're having a heart attack, you have a car accident. I've had, you know, recently, just in like the last 2 weeks, a client, 18 years old, in a car accident, you know, and the first, now the bills are starting to come in and it's over $500,000 in a month. So this would be why you have health insurance. That person was paying like $100 a month for her policy and has already racked up in this 1 year over $500,000 of claims. Her part that they'll have to pay is about $7,500, although the rest of that is going for the rest of this year to that insurance company. So that is why you have health insurance.
Yeah.
It's not about the $30 office visit. And if I ask somebody, you know, okay, pay for everything until you meet the deductible, well, how much does stuff really cost? Nobody knows. There really is a thing called healthbluebook.com. Just like there's a blue book for your cars, you can go in and put in, I live in Santa Cruz, and I'm thinking about having an appendectomy, you know, a broken leg or whatever, and start researching what average costs for that sort of thing are in your area. So there are ways to now start being a more informed consumer. Does that make it perfect? No, when you're hit by a car, you're not like making decisions on this stuff. The ambulance scoops you up and off you go into the system. But, you know, for some things, you can start to educate yourself a little bit about what things really cost, because we've been insulated from it, expecting insurance to pay for it.
In the last few years, we've heard so much about mortgage fraud.
Mm-hmm.
How prevalent is fraud with people wanting insurance? I'm not going to say that I've had this disease. I'm not going to, you know, say these pains.
Yeah, I would say there's some. Actually, not a lot. I have people almost to a fault going the other way. Of they're so afraid of, if I don't disclose everything, what if I accidentally got a date wrong on, you know, when I put something down on my application, and then I'll have an illness, and then they'll pull my insurance because I didn't get that one thing right. Really, it's not like that. I mean, you give your best guess effort. If you ask me when the last time I went to a doctor was, I can't tell you. I kind of sort of the spring 2 years ago, you know, kind of thing. I could make up a date, and I would be close enough for their things. So people almost get to the point of paralysis because they can't fill out the form more than they lie. I'm sure there's some. We had up until last month, a policy that the state had that was for people with pre-existing conditions. Unfortunately, the state ran out of money, so they've yanked that. It was a great deal while we did it, but I had people call me up. I'm in the hospital and I have a broken neck. I'm in a halo cast and I don't have insurance. Can you write me a policy?
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I could. I can't now, but I could then.
Do insurance companies that don't require a medical evaluation, a medical exam, are those going to provide less coverage overall? Those a cheap in form?
No, actually, that was a great policy. It was just highly subsidized by the government, which is why the program went broke earlier. Because like most government things, anytime they make an estimate of what they think something will cost, they're always, always, always 100% of the time wrong.
So you don't have a cut rate insurance if it doesn't require a medical exam.
No, the only ones that are out there that say, you know, you can have a pre-existing condition. Those are not truly an insurance product. Those are usually like a discount plan that say we will give you these negotiated rates that you would have gotten if you had insurance. But they never have that cutoff place like the plan with the 18-year-old where after $7,500, her plan paid 100%. If they're not requiring you to fill out a form or something, you know, to that effect, then you're not having that kind of coverage. There's a reason why it's cheaper. There are some, they call them mini meds, you know, for a nice term, and they're basically like a coupon. So there really are coupons.
So there are coupons.
There are coupons, yes.
That's good to know.
Yeah, so, I mean, there are people, there's now, you know, with health reform and with all the staggering costs of things, you know, people are coming up and coming into plans like telemedicine and using that where you actually call up a doctor for, especially for the more minor things, you know. If you have a bladder infection, you know what you have. You don't need to go see a doctor for that, but you do need to see them to get the medication. So there are programs where you can just call them up and go, here's my symptoms, you know, I know what I got. Yeah, okay, what pharmacy do you want me to call that, you know, penicillin or whatever into?
It's been a great show so far.
Yeah, nice to join us.
Mackenzie on back. But you guys don't need me. Now the show's really going to go downhill because I was fascinated by that program, and Rick kept gesturing, I should leave, I should leave. I said, no, stay. You're doing a way better job than I could ever do. So anyhow, thank you, Rick, and thank you, Pamela,
mm-hmm.
and thank you, Mom, and thank you, listeners, for putting up with my tardiness. But I had a good excuse.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. All right. So
they were just starting that when I was coming through.
God, yeah. So, all right. So here we are. It's 10:25. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO MZ. Back in the saddle, hosting the Saturday special, hour number one thereof. A very, very special guest. And the reason I call Pamela very special is because every time she's on the radio, she has her own show
Thursday nights.
Yeah, Thursday nights. Yeah, from 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
But every time that you're a guest on the radio station, I get all kinds of accolades. In fact, you were on not too long ago with Doc Wallach.
Mm-hmm.
And
we tag teamed you. That was fun.
He doesn't rave about very many people. And that Pam, she really knows her stuff. I mean, he really thinks the world of you.
Oh, good. I take that as a massive compliment.
Yeah, no. And many others. So before I got cut off from the cell phone,
mm-hmm.
From my AT&T service that cuts out at Capitol Hall.
At that place, yes.
I was about to make the point that I had contacted Dominican Hospital. I've sent them a nice letter delineating what had happened and saying, under the circumstances, would you be willing to make an adjustment to the bill? I didn't ask for any particular. I didn't say wipe off the total bill or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Just make some sort of adjustment. And they sent me back a nice letter after a week or a couple weeks saying no. and I got to tell you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the purpose of this program is not to to say anything negative about Dominican. They're a wonderful, wonderful.
And if you were under a certain income level, uh-huh. that answer would have been different.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because I didn't talk about my income level or anything. And how would people even know that?
If you when you go into Dominican, let's say you go in via the ER, which is kind of how most people arrive there,
uh-huh.
Unless you're going for something that's scheduled, they actually have a person whose job it is to interview each person that comes in. They're part of the meet and greet deal at the door, and as you're coughing or hacking or whatever reason it is that you're there, if you're not an immediate heart attack, you're bleeding on the floor, this guy's interviewing you. And they're looking.
And that's happened to me lots of times.
Yeah. Do you have insurance? Where's your card? Okay. You don't have your card with you. Can somebody provide us with these numbers? You don't have insurance. Okay. Let's fill out these forms. And if you, at that point, they're qualifying you based on income. There are.
Because they never asked me what my income was. And the insurance company didn't ask me what my income was.
The insurance company until next year doesn't care. And actually, the insurance company even next year doesn't care. The government
cares.
If you can make
the premium payments that mm-hmm. you agree to, that's all that matters, mm-hmm. at least up until now and next year.
And the hospital's concern is your policy after, let's say, $3,000 pays 100%. So they're only having to worry about you and your ability to pay that $3,000 because they know the bigger part of the bill is on the back of the insurance company. They know they can pay the bill. So they're not interviewing you about if you come in with insurance. But let's say you went in and you didn't have insurance. They would most definitely be asking you income type of questions, how many people in your household,
sure.
because they're trying to qualify you for Medi-Cal that you may have been eligible for and never signed up for it, healthy families, whatever might have been.
Even though we're getting off track from where I want to be, it's so damn intriguing, and you have all these answers that really get me thinking.
Well, I have people that go out and have all these experiences. So,
but are you telling me,
other people's experiences?
Are you telling me, Pamela, that come next year, applying for medical insurance is going to, for most of us or all of us, be more like applying for a mortgage?
Mm-hmm. It's an eight-page application, and it's not health questions. The only real health question is, do you smoke or not? It's the only thing they can ding you for health-wise. If you smoke, if you guys haven't quit smoking by now, get over it. Start now. You will pay a minimum 20% more than everybody else, if not 50.
This news that you're putting forth now mm-hmm. is making me and probably a lot of our audience sick. And so it's going to have the reverse effect from what
Affordable Care Act, which is a government oxymoron. It's the Accessible Care Act. We can all access it next year. We will not be told no. It will be more expensive than what we have now for most of us.
All they needed to do is either change affordable to accessible, and then it would be accurate.
And then it would be accurate.
Or stick in the letters UN in front of what it's now named, so it's the Unaffordable Healthcare Act.
Yeah. I mean, there are winners and losers in the system now. There are different winners and losers in the system next year. So it just depends on how much you make and what your health situation was. If you were one of the people who no matter how much money you had, could not get health insurance because you didn't get it through your employer and you were told no in the individual market, you're a winner in the new market because you can't be told no.
All right.
But it's going to cost. Don't get me wrong.
All right. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about why costs are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't remember exactly what the cost was for my 2 hour and 10 minute stay in the total.
Mm-hmm.
From the time I went in and registered and did all that stuff to the time they did the angiogram that was supposed to be for an angioplasty where they blow up a balloon in my heart, found out that wasn't needed. Thank God, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
But I submitted to a procedure that could have punctured my artery somewhere, and I'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that happens. It does. It's not an insignificant
people
number.
Die from colonoscopies. I mean, anything could go wrong. You know, there's no such thing as a truly super minor procedure.
Well, that's why I went for this new, what they call, uninvasive CT angiogram,
mm-hmm.
where they don't stick a needle up your groin and fish it through your main artery where they can puncture it and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's uninvasive.
Right.
And that's the test that turned out to be a false positive that said I had at the very least, an angioplasty to open up one of my arteries.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor who called me, my cardiologist, said, the good news is that it's only one. It's not four or more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bad news is that you need it now.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, I had it. It was a happy ending, but it was, why was my bill that I had to pay, and I'm not whining and complaining.
Right.
I guess I am a little bit. And I'm not angry at anybody.
Only since the time you had it.
Yeah. the bill from Dominican for 2 hours and 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
of my being there was like $28,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's friggin' insane! I'm not mad at Dominican. I'm mad at the system. Dominican is a wonderful healthcare, mm-hmm. facility. They're charging what they charge, probably because they have to. But I don't understand why they have to, and I don't understand why other hospitals. You hear, mm-hmm. stories like this from every hospital.
Their charges are not out of line,
no,
with what other people charge.
But why is it that way? Before,
okay.
I went on the trip,
mm-hmm.
I read this article in... I subscribe to Mercola.com, and I get an email from Dr. Joseph Mercola every day. Why are Americans getting so little in return for the highest medical bills on the planet? That's a variation of what Doc Wallach has been saying for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
So now Mercola, more mainstream, is saying things like that. Americans spend twice as much on healthcare per capita than any other country in the world. In fact, to a series of studies by the consulting firm McKinsey and Company, the U.S. spends more on healthcare than the next 10 biggest spenders combined. Japan, Germany, France, China, the U.K., Italy, Canada, Brazil, Spain, and Australia. Despite that, we rank dead last in terms of quality of care among industrialized countries, and Americans are far sicker and live shorter lives than people in other nations. How is that possible? The short answer is we're being fleeced. Wow! Doesn't that say it all? Doesn't that say it all?
Well, it says a chunk of it, and it's not without merit. There's a website that the state of California has where they do a statewide health planning and development, and you can find financial details about every hospital that's out there. So after you called last night, it was like, I'll go on there and pull out some statistics for you. So I pulled up Dominican, and it's like, it's a 57-bed hospital, and it goes into, you know, where it's located. And
only 57-bed?
Mm-hmm. That's what they have on this website.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, a lot of what you had, you were never actually admitted into the physical hospital. You were
an
outpatient procedure,
right.
Which is more and more and more of what happens. Probably when you hear about people having knee surgeries and a lot of these procedures, your angio, which seems like, wow, it's like heart surgery, but it's an outpatient.
Right.
And so you're never physically admitted into the hospital. Then the people who are the, you know, people who have something much more serious going on where they have to be there. But most of us have a procedure, we go home. So there's only 57 inpatient beds. It's not that there's not more people there each day, but most of them are going home. They provide free care for people who are making under 200% of the federal poverty level. They provide discounted at a certain level for people that are in that 201 to 350%. And they provide a different discount level if you're in that, you know, 350 to 500% of federal poverty level. So there's a whole lot of people using that facility and every facility. We're just using them because they're the local example. And they're not paying anything for their care. For those of us who have insurance, for those of us who have funds, we pay more because we're covering the cost of those other things that other people got for free. So already there is this thing in place. All that the ACA Affordable Care Act does is kind of cement and now protect the hospitals, because instead of each hospital having to come up with these criteria, the government sort of done it for them. And they're going to be providing insurance so that, or subsidies for the insurance, if people take it, which is yet another whole discussion, then, you know, the hospitals are now protected from having to give so much free care. And so maybe it's sort of like a teeter-totter. You know, somebody's on the downhill side, somebody's on the uphill side. You know, this new Affordable Care Act is just going to maybe change the balance on that teeter a little bit.
Right. Well, my portion of the bill is $4,300.
Mm-hmm.
I will be paying it on Monday probably.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's behind me. But there's,
and you would feel differently about it if you were the 18-year-old girl we were talking about before, whose life was saved by all the interventions and the intensive care and things. If, you know, her dad is really happy to write the check for $7,500 because
right.
he still has his daughter.
Right.
And so, but yours was a different situation.
Wonderful, wonderful point.
Yeah, and your situation is different because you went in on, you know, it was a false positive. Had that procedure saved your life, that $4,000 would look totally different
exactly,
to you.
Exactly.
You know, so it's different. For each person comes to it from a different place.
Well, is it totally unrealistic to think that some discussion and some debate about why costs are so high and do they have to be so high, even when you take into account the fact that there are all the indigent people that can't be turned away and have mm-hmm. to be serviced by the hospital. I think, and I could be just totally off on this, and maybe there's a reason. Maybe the $4,300, I should be damn happy that it wasn't $9,300 or $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get an itemized bill that I've asked for, they don't send you that unless you ask for it,
right?
Or go and get it or something like that.
Yeah, and it comes off in tons and tons of pages.
Yeah,
it's horrifying, isn't it?
Yeah. And, well, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. I'm going to pay the bill
Right, but it is interesting to research, and I think everybody should get an itemized bill because then you understand if it's just one line item on the insurance form that comes back. You know, you pay this, we paid that. It doesn't resonate as
that's
much
all
as
I've
when
seen.
You've seen.
That's all I've seen. I said, well, you know, $4,300 is, you know, be thankful I'm not paying the $28,000, the full amount or whatever
exactly.
it was. But that's what I paid for the insurance for,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right. And that's what insurance is for. It's a financial tool. It's not, insurance doesn't keep you healthy. Insurance is a tool.
But with charges like this, Pamela.
Mm-hmm. That's why insurance costs so much.
That's why insurance costs so much. But even with insurance costing as much as it does, how can the insurance companies survive with charges
They're having a really – I was at a meeting last week that it was a great analogy. It was actually one of the heads of the insurance company you happen to be with. And he had this analogy is that all of the different health, you know, insurance companies, the CEOs and, you know, the number crunchers, the actuarials are all, and he had a graphic up of a giant cave, and they're all going into this cave. They're blindfolded. They're, you know, singing Kumbaya and all going in together, and each one of them is going to come out of this cave having to decide, this is the plans we're going to offer. These are the premiums. This is how we think the claims will come. And this is, you know, and some companies will get it right and some companies will get it wrong. And this is what they have to work
with. And the ones that get it wrong enough will cease to exist.
They will cease to exist because they are now going to be required by law to come up with, you know, all of these different hoops to jump through. If they got it wrong, let's say they have this thing where, okay, you can take all the hits you want and pay all the claims you want, but if you want to raise the rates, you know, there's all these requirements as far as having to get more income out of people. You have to go through all these different justifications. So,
if you were in charge,
no, I don't even want that job.
Would you have
I have appreciation for the problem. I have too much appreciation for the problem that I knew I didn't want to be in charge. I just try and explain the problem to other people.
But when people keep saying, I am not a candidate, but if enough people tell them that they should be a candidate, they could become a candidate. So just pretend, pretend now for the sake of argument and for the radio audience here and for my entertainment.
What my solution would be?
Well, were you in charge, would you have put in the Obamacare?
Obamacare, at first, it's the Affordable Care Act. Let's not anger anybody. We don't have to make angry. So, you know, would I have chosen that route? No. Did something have to be done? Absolutely. The system's out of control.
Everybody agrees that pre-existing conditions should be covered. So that there's no controversy there.
Right. There's no controversy on that. There's no controversy on the fact that, you know, maybe kids can stay on till 26 because we're having a hard time kicking them out of the nest and finding jobs. And they're all coming out of, you know, with all the student loan debt. That's a reason to listen to my show on Thursdays, not going there. But, you know, people are in debt up to their eyeballs at 26 with no job. So can we stay on our parents' insurance and at least have that? Okay, great. We'll give them that. But that is not without adding costs into the system as well. So each of these things, good intentions as they are, add costs into the system. So the reason why the pre-existing condition thing was put in the first place is because it is human nature that if we are out there healthy, surfing, living the Santa Cruz lifestyle, and we see no value in having health insurance, we are not going to pay $200 or $300 a month as a 20-year-old for that product. We would much rather put $200 or $300 a month in our gas tank, buy a car, new surfboard, whatever it is. You know, that's human nature. Unless, oops, now I've had an accident or something. And like the guy with the broken neck who calls me up, now I need insurance. And as soon as that broken neck is fixed and he's back on the road, I have no doubt that that same said person probably dropped that insurance. And quit paying
for
it.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. They do it all the time. It's human nature. This is why you have a waiting period on your dental.
How many times do people break their necks and don't become quadriplegics?
Honestly, I never met the guy. I've only talked to him on the phone. I helped direct him in the area of this is how you get it. Here's the form you fill out. And he sent a form and a check to the state. That was, I have no other involvement.
Do you know what happened to him?
No idea.
So he might be a quadriplegic.
Might. And at the time that he was in the hospital and called me, he was in a halo cast and his neck was stabilized and he just needed a surgery to make that permanent so that he could get that metallic thing off of his head.
Oh, I see. We're talking with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick. We're trying to talk about why the insane costs of hospital and healthcare are what they are. Mm-hmm. There's been a debate about who should pay for it, a raging debate all through the country, but nobody is debating, nobody's talking about why they're so high.
Mm-hmm.
They're just talking about who should pay for it.
Well, let's take this radio station as an example. You have a physical location, you have land, you have to pay taxes and, you know, upkeep on that. I can only imagine what your electrical bill is to fire that thing. I can't even imagine. But, okay, let's just say.
Don't even get me thinking.
I know. So you have overhead, right?
To be honest, I have it on auto pay. I don't even want to look at it. It'll make me sick.
Yeah. I can't even fathom. I thought of it this morning when I drove in about, wow, I wonder, one, A, who changes the light bulbs on the top of that tower and how much your electrical bill is. These are the things that fascinated me when I drive by the place. But, you know, you have overhead, you have expenses that you have to meet. So you have to bring in a certain amount of revenue from advertising and, you know, the shows and everything else to be able to keep the lights on, right? So if you can't.
That's exactly right.
So there's nothing different in the hospital medical world. They have a physical location. They have a lot of very expensive equipment. They have insurance that is god-awful. Don't even whine about your insurance bill because you should see theirs.
I'm not whining about the insurance bill. I'm whining about the hospital bill.
Exactly, but this is the overhead they have to cover. Plus, by law, they can't turn somebody away. If you didn't like an advertiser as a business owner, you could say, I don't want your money or your business. Now, they can't. If somebody shows up at the doorstep and they're bleeding, insurance not, any ability to pay or not, they're obligated by law to patch that person up. They cannot refuse service.
And what if they do?
They can't.
But what if they do?
They would get sued and, you know, you'd see that spread all over the paper. You know, they would be shut down.
Yeah.
So you cannot have.
I don't think people would be so heartless to be that way, anybody. But
no, and people that are in the medical, I was in the medical field before I switched to the financial side of the medical field. I was a medic, so I've worked in hospitals, so I've been on the other side of the fence. They have fairly decent salaries, not exorbitant for the most part, but I mean, you know, nurses and doctors are not on the lower end of the food chain economic-wise. You know, they have highly skilled people that paid a lot of money to go to school and they get a good wage. They have decent benefits. They have all of these things. They have to meet these costs. And now we have more and more tests. 10, 20 years ago, that test that you had that gave you the false positive didn't exist.
Right.
And so the you know, going and having the angioplasty, all those kind of things, 10, 20 years ago, those things didn't exist. MRIs. You know, in my lifetime, I've seen, we had basic black and white x-rays, views.
Yep.
And now, you know, Technicolor 3D CAD drawings of your entire circulatory system in my lifetime. I'm sure when I went to the doctor as a kid and broke my arm and had my 2-view x-ray, and I remember seeing the prices on the wall. It was like going to Burger King and you could see in the little, you know, black felt with the push, you know, numbers and letters. Office visit, $30 to $60, x-rays, this to this. You saw a range of things, and you actually paid on your way in, and then you had your services, and if something had come up, and you paid a difference going out.
Wow.
But we didn't have insurance for the basic stuff. It was in case you got hit by a car and you went to the hospital.
All right. Anything you want to say, gang? Give us a call, 479-1080. That's in area 831. You have any questions? Not every day we have Pamela Fugit-Hetrick here on the Saturday special. So we'd like to hear from you. And Dick has been waiting for quite a while here. Let me bring Dick up and welcome him to KSCO. Dick, you're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Come in.
Dick, are you on a cell phone that's cutting in and out?
No.
Okay.
I'm on a regular phone.
Okay, you're on the air.
Okay. Well, this is a very complicated topic. I got a zillion questions, but I don't know which one to ask first.
Well, just
start at the beginning.
Just flip a coin.
The exchanges. I heard something about they're postponing the exchanges until 2015 for, I guess, those states that are refusing to roll them out. I know California has got one. Mm-hmm. So it probably won't impact us, but I was wondering about the subsidies.
The subsidies? Okay, you can go to coveredca.com.
Oh, I've been there.
You've already done that drill? Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. No. Okay, first of all, my first question.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to have those wind chimes there?
They're sounding nice.
Sorry. They make me nervous.
I'm getting lost here. Yeah, I wanted to know if that those subsidies, does that mean all the families that go into the subsidy program, are they going to be covered by conventional insurance companies, or are they going to be covered by the government Medi-Cal or Medicaid or whatever it is, Medi-Cal?
Good question. So it depends on where you come up. If you get if it says it's X amount and you get a subsidy and you're paying a portion, you will be with Blue Cross, Aetna, Health Net, whichever one. There'll be more choices when it actually opens up in October. Right now, what you see on that site is best guess scenario.
Blue Cross isn't in that, right?
Yes, they are. Blue Cross.
Oh, they joined.
Yeah, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Aetna, the key players will be there if they have group and individual insurance. They won't be in every plan. So they're all jockeying for position now, and let's say maybe Health Net decides, you know, what I want to be really good at is the more catastrophic plans, and I'm going to have bronze plans that are the winners, and I'm going to price my Cadillac, my platinum plans, so that I'm not a winner in that category.
Gotcha. Okay, I gotcha. So it's you are in Medi-Cal.
No. If you are under 138%, then you're Medi-Cal, and you will have no option to get a subsidy for the other.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the subsidy plans. So many people are going to fall in those. Now, those subsidies, those are from the government. They help you pay your premium. Are those paid?
They're paid direct to the
Medi-Cal?
No. They're paid direct from the government to Blue Cross, whoever it is that you picked for your plan.
Okay.
So if you picked a plan that was $400 a month and you had a $200 subsidy, let's say for the sake of argument that was a Blue Cross plan, you would pay your $200 check every month to Blue Cross, and the government would be sending a $200 check to Blue Cross on your behalf.
Okay. Well, I had a question for a long time ago about those subsidies, because I know there's an Estate Recovery Act from 1993, and if everybody goes into these subsidies and they're going to be in the Medi-Cal program or the Medicaid, then that estate recovery plan from 1993 could be kicking in on all those people, and they could...
Well, here's even a scarier thought. I actually had dinner last night with my... one of my close friends who's an enrolled agent, IRS, you know, tax preparer. So she's in slightly a comatose state at this moment with taxes, you know, so I have to drag her out and make sure she eats every once in a while. So last night we were having one of those kind of nights, and I'm like, wow, you and I are finally going to be in business together. And she's like, well, how's that? I'm like, because I'm going to sell them these insurance plans and help counsel people on how to get what they need. But they're going to have to fill out this 8-page form, and a lot of it is, one of the questions is, in 2014, how much are you going to make?
Yeah.
Well, seriously, dude, do you know? Because I don't. You know, I have a I don't know what I'm going to make next month, much less my 2014 income.
You could estimate poorly there.
Yes. Yeah, so let's just say.
Well, it's in line with the logic of we have to pass this health care bill to find out what's in
it. Right. So you have to give them a guess. So let's just say, there's no criminal intent here. You tell them, this year I made $25,000. So next year I'm thinking, I'll make $25,000. But somebody in your household gets a promotion. Maybe it's not you. Maybe your wife got a better job or whatever it is. But your household income at the end of 2014, when you sit down with my friend to go do your taxes, and now maybe instead of 25, you guys made 45, 50, whatever. Maybe you won the lotto. I don't know. But something very, very substantial could have changed. So
and
now when you file your taxes, the government is going to go,
they'll get you.
Okay, well, we gave him a $200 a month subsidy. That's 20,
that's right.
You know, so, but he was not eligible for any subsidy. Therefore, I'm sorry to tell you that your tax obligation is now up by whatever that is.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are thinking, oh, I'm going to go in and lowball this whole thing. Just know that this could come back to haunt you.
Well, you could fall into Medi-Cal then you're really screwed because there's
no doctors. Well, at that point,
Not that anybody would do this, but what if they highballed it? Could they get a refund?
Potentially. And so there are some caps that are put into place, and again, it's based on your percentage of income. It's very complicated. I'm going to have to know a lot more about taxes than I ever had to know as a health insurance agent.
I know.
And my friend is going to have to know a lot more about health insurance.
Go to Obamacare 911.
Exactly. Yeah, so you're
not
new.
Not 911-0101.
Yeah.
Maybe, he does mean 911.
I think he does mean 911.
Excuse me. Yeah, I'm not very bright.
Yeah, that's Dick Morris's book on Obamacare.
Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah, everyone should be in the 411. Let's get information and be informed going in at this point. You should. This should be the summer of I need to get informed so that I'm not the summer of I need to pay work off my tax obligation next year.
Are you going to hire one of those people that, you know, what do they call them, navigators, I heard?
I can't. By law, I can't be a navigator, and by law, I can't hire one. So,
I
get a commission from the insurance company.
I heard it was 62 pages long, and they're hiring 30 people.
Mm-hmm. It's a really great, if somebody's out there unemployed right now, I brought this up on my show.
It is.
Is that if you are have any acumen for talking to people and filling out forms, if you ever worked for like H&R Block or, you know, one of these kind of things where you help people with taxes, this could potentially be a good opportunity for some people to have some jobs. It's shovel ready in the president's words.
I got one more. Now, I thought California joined early Medi-Cal on the program, on the exchanges.
We expanded Medi-Cal instead of 100% of federal poverty level. It's 138. More people will qualify for it.
Oh, I see. Just that little gap.
Yeah.
But if you're over 133 up to about, what is it? What's
if you're over 138 to 400, you're going to get a subsidy and
You're going to get a regular insurance company, and you won't be stuck in Medi-Cal. That was my point.
Right.
But I want to talk about Medicare. But, boy, I'm wondering if we're going to be able to get
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, I got an answer to your pricing thing.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sure you already heard a lot of answers from your guest. She's excellent.
She really is. Yeah.
There was a class action suit against Dominican years ago. I was asked to join it over the high charges to people that were uninsured going in there. So it's real typical. And I also
Wait a minute. So
there was a class action suit for people like you and me that were overcharged tremendous amounts of money because we paid cash. It happens every day, everywhere. And I got a notice in the mail. I didn't join. I don't join anything. But it was a
what that would be is you got a discount. You know, let's say the bill is $20,000, but your insurance company negotiated a discount.
Have insurance.
No, I know, but I'm talking to Michael. Sorry. You can't see that I was pointing at him, but,
sorry.
You know, he did have insurance and that he did get those negotiated discount rates.
Yeah, that's right.
But for people who do pay cash, who don't have insurance and they're going in and having
but
to set up a payment.
Again, this is nothing against Dominican, but the negotiated rates that I got, whoop-de-friggin-do. They're ridiculous still.
That's because Obamacare doesn't care.
They don't care how much. That's the problem that I'm trying to nobody cares. That's always been the problem with our whole society. Nobody cares what something costs as long as insurance is paying for it.
Right.
Something's got to change.
People
or else the whole insurance company system is going to break down too.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
I think
Dick, let's get a tease. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Let's get a tease, at least, from Dan in Pacific Grove, who's our next caller. Dan, we might have to hold you over here because there's less than a minute. Go ahead.
That is fine. A couple brief comments, a couple quick questions. Hey, Pamela, you have a great show. I catch you whenever I can. You're the
best
financial doctor in town. I think this conversation is well overdue and should be happening nationally. I don't think that has happened.
Well, they have to do is go to KSCO.com, anybody, but we got to get the word out that it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're working on getting KSCO quality programming, you know, to be more accessible through technology. So, But anyhow, hey, listen, it's only 10 seconds to the top of the hour.
Yeah, hang on.
So I have to, ask you to hang on.
That's fine.
And we will continue this conversation. We might not even get into asexuality next hour right here on KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. On a visit to Beijing, Secretary of State John Kerry has enlisted China's help in the effort to stop North Korea from conducting another ballistic missile test.
We both joined in stating that the United States and China remain fully committed to the September 2005 joint statement of the six-party talks and to its core goal. And that core goal is the verifiable denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula in a peaceful manner.
However, Beijing made no specific public comment intended to pressure its longtime ally, North Korea, to change its bellicose ways. There's been a clash between guards and prisoners at the Guantanamo Bay detainee camp, prompting officials to move detainees from communal to single cells in the section known as Camp 6. Lawyers say most of the 166 inmates there have been involved in a two-month-long hunger strike. Authorities are investigating the deaths of a Texas prosecutor, his wife, and an assistant DA, and have searched the home of a former Kaufman County Justice of the Peace. CBS's John Miller says Eric Williams has not been named as a suspect in the case.
Clearly, what authorities and investigators are trying to do here is they've gone to a judge, they've established probable cause to believe that Williams may be connected to the murders. Enough cause to get a search warrant. And they went into those two residents trying to find either physical evidence, like a weapon, or forensic evidence to tie him to one or more of those crimes.
Williams has been charged with making terrorist threats and appears before a judge today. Tiger Woods is back on the course in Augusta this afternoon after almost being bumped out of the Masters. CBS's Steve Futterman, live from Augusta.
Pam, Tiger Woods began his third round here at the Masters a few moments ago.
Tiger Woods!
He received the usual huge ovation this just hours after he avoided being disqualified for placing his ball in the wrong position yesterday. The placement of the ball occurred after Woods hit a shot into the water. Woods, however, did receive a two-shot penalty that is significant, moving him five strokes behind the leader. Live at the Masters in Augusta, Steve Futterman, CBS News.
And Lakers star Kobe Bryant may be out for the season.
A test will be done today to determine the extent of damage to Bryant's Achilles tendon. He injured it driving to the basket in last night's game. Bryant said when he fell, he couldn't feel his Achilles. He suspects a partial tear.
Hoping it wasn't what I knew it was. I was trying to walk it off and hoping that the sensation would come back, but no such luck.
Meantime, Bryant vented on social media this morning, expressing his anger while looking for a silver lining. Ed Mertz, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The price of gas continues to fall. GasBuddy.com says the average price for a gallon of regular is $3.53, down a nickel from last week. This is CBS News.
Clitus contains homeopathic ingredients traditionally used to provide relief.
Do you have constant ringing in your ears? Does it drive you crazy? Maybe you hear that buzzing and it drowns out what other people are saying? It's impossible to focus. That ringing is the last thing you hear before you go to sleep. Let me guess. You're hearing that ringing right now. Millions of people suffer from tinnitus, that constant ringing in the ear. Now there's relief. It's called Quietus. Thousands of people have used Quietus to stop ringing in the ear, to stop that hissing sound. You'll love it. You won't have to ask people to repeat themselves. You won't have to sleep with loud fans. Finally, you'll be able to enjoy some peace and quiet. If you're suffering from tinnitus, I urge you to try Quietus.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Quietus at 1-800-485-4617. That's 1-800-485-4617. Stop the ringing now. 1-800-485-4617. That's 1-800-485-4617.
Hair of the dog in soup form?
It's called Yakamine, a soup that seems to wipe away hangovers.
We ate it. It, like, sobered you up. You went from being really drunk to normal.
That San Francisco caterer swears by it. It's a salty soy broth and noodles, beef, chicken, or shrimp, scallions, and a hard-boiled egg.
Whatever it is, it works. You know, I'm not a scientist or anything, but it works.
Now science backs it up. At the American Chemical Society, new research finds this soup from the New Orleans French Quarter has the right combination of things to ease the pain of a hangover. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
He's too young to drive, a car at least, but 14-year-old Kwon Tianlong is driving at Augusta. He made history as the youngest golfer to play the Masters, and he's also the youngest to make the cut. That after the Guangzhou, China resident was assessed a one-shot penalty for slow play. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
It's 11:05 on this Saturday morning, April 13th. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz online at KSCO.com. I'm Rick O'Shea with a traffic and weather update. Highway 1 northbound. Right lane is closed at Park Avenue. Had construction there taking place. It's supposed to end at 11 o'clock. Still some heavy traffic heading north into the construction at La Fonda. Highway 1 is going to be heavy from North Aptos into Santa Cruz. Forecast today, morning low clouds and fog will give way to sun. High temperatures are going to be in the 60s and 70s today. Cooler around the Monterey Peninsula, low 70s at the coast in Santa Cruz with some middle 70s inland. 61 right now at KSCO Studios in Santa Cruz. Before we start hour two of the Saturday special, it's time for the latest from Kay's Whirling.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
A very generous KSCO radio listener who knew we all would be interested sent me the following current information. His name is Kelly C. Tuttle, and his amateur radio license call is WB6AAJ. And for all we listeners, I say thank you, Kelly. This is called A Little Government Control History. In 1929, the Soviet Union established gun control. From 1929 to 1963, about 20 million dissidents unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. In 1911, Turkey established gun control. From 1915 to 1917, 1.5 million Armenians unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. Germany established gun control in 1938, and from 1939 to 1945, a total of 13 million Jews and others who were unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. China established gun control in 1935. From 1948 to 1952, 20 million political dissidents unable to defend themselves were rounded up and exterminated. Thereafter, we can mention Guatemala, same thing, Uganda, same thing, Cambodia, same thing, and no doubt many other countries. Defenseless people rounded up and exterminated in the 20th century because of gun control. The amount is 56 million people. You will not see this data in the U.S. evening news or hear politicians disseminating this information. Guns in the hands of honest citizens save lives and property. And yes, gun control laws adversely affect only the law-abiding citizens. Take note, my fellow Americans, before it's too late. The next time someone talks in favor of gun control, please remind them of this history lesson. With guns, we are citizens. Without them, we are subjects. During World War II, the Japanese decided not to invade America because they knew most Americans were armed. Switzerland issues every household a gun. Switzerland's government trains every adult they issue a rifle to. Switzerland has the lowest gun-related crime rates of any civilized country in the world. It's a no-brainer. Do not let our government waste millions of our tax dollars in an effort to make all law-abiding citizens an easy target. Spread the word everywhere you can that you are a firm believer in the Second Amendment. For KSCO, this is Kay's Whirling.
If you devote yourself.
you devote yourself to an ideal,
committed to keeping you informed,
you become something else entirely.
The best hope
news
for peace in our
traffic. Weather.
Increasingly breezy.
Sports.
Yeah!
Market report.
Price will be going up.
Where are you?
One station.
With that big sound, it's gotta be KSCO.
Hi, everybody. It's MZ. Remember me? panel is cracking up. We had a minor little catastrophe here with the radio station. With all the new state-of-the-art equipment here, every once in a while, buttons get pushed that shouldn't, that kills the whole thing. And I thought everything had blown up. And I don't go into panic mode and I didn't this time, but I was getting close, wouldn't you say?
That's why you hire professionals to help you out, though.
We have the consummate. Is your radio wet? There's slobber all over my microphone. we have the consummate professionals working here at KSCO. What a great K's commentary, wasn't it? You didn't get to hear it.
I didn't get to hear it.
Neither did I. But they're all great, so it's instinctive that.
But
that's
it's nice
I
to
say.
Meet your mom here, so.
So and you can do that too, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. You could take Pamela Fugit-Hetrick is a very, very smart lady, and I'm not kidding around. I mean, I'm really lucky to have her. She's the absolute best health insurance person I've ever had. She's the greatest, and. I don't know if lots of people are listening and if they're getting ideas. Gee, maybe Pamela should be my insurance agent. The answer is yes, she should. She should be everybody's agent because you'll never get one as good as Pam. However, it might make your life miserable if you have too many people because how many can be too many? You have lots of clients, you said, but...
Yeah, thankfully. Well, it's only too many if they all need help at the same day. Then it gets a little rough. If you guys space it out, you know.
Yeah.
There's good days and bad.
All right. So
I have professionals that help me, too. It takes a village.
Is that a Hillary-ism?
You know, that was one of the ones that I have to give her credit for, yep.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, it was like that raising my child, and it's like that in my business. It does take a village.
We were talking to Dan in Pacific Grove before the news break. And we will go back to Dan because he stayed on with us. And by the way, if you want to call and talk healthcare, you can. Or if you want to wait and talk about being single. Are there any single people who listen to KSCO?
Yeah.
My belief is the answer is not only yes, but hell yes, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are more single people. I have no reason to, you know, say this other than just gut feeling. I think there are more single people who listen to KSCO than not, because if they had spouses, they'd have to pay attention to the spouses, and they wouldn't be able to listen to KSCO as much, because the spouse would be all pissed off and say, "How come you're paying so much attention to KSCO and not to me?"
I think it depends on the shows. If it's like the drive time show, maybe they're still commuting, you know. But in my show, I think there's quite a few singles that call up or. Recently single, or for one reason or another, or always been single, or...
I heard a little bit about that on Rich Lieberman's show this week, and it really piqued my interest. I don't know how much he got into it, because I wasn't able to listen to the whole thing, but I really want to get into it, and I want to talk about, experiences as single people. And what makes you single, and are you happy you're single, and all that kind of stuff. So,
hope to some of us are.
That was a personal...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'd echo that.
There's people that should be single. I think I'm one of them.
I guess I'd echo that. Okay. Well, good. Maybe you... So we can dovetail... You could be in... Even if it changes...
I wasn't intending to be a guest on that topic.
Let's do it. Well, I mean, you volunteered already, so why not? I mean, you've put out some personal thoughts on that topic.
I need to learn to say no.
Okay, well, let's officially start hour number two.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit.
Well, because we like to finish what we start here, we're definitely going to complete the discussion about healthcare costs. I'm sort of hoping that we get to the single thing.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And what were you about to say, Pamela Fugit-Hetrick?
I think I'd rather talk about healthcare, but
okay. All right. Well, that's your field. You know, I can understand.
We can talk about whoever calls what their topic is. There we go.
Because
we'll let them pick.
We honor our listeners and callers in particular.
Yes.
We're going to let them drive the conversation. And at the moment, there are only two people who are online at 479-1080. Dan in Pacific Grove, who started last hour, and our good friend Richard N. Watsonville, who always has something surprising to contribute to the radio program. So let's go back to Dan. Dan, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Go ahead. You might as well start from the beginning here because you only got about 30 seconds for the top of the hour.
Jeez. okay, I'll just cut to the chase. The two questions, couple areas. Any thoughts you want to provide? The lack of freedom of choice of medical care and how that ties in with the insurance or lack of it. What weighs into that issue, of course, is the FDA, what can only be reasonably termed corruption, FDA and AMA suppressing and the insurance industry not supporting alternative medical care. Something related to that is the importance, I think you would agree, of people looking after their own health, doing the little homework,
mm-hmm.
Habits. Doc
Those two topics go together really well because I've been a proponent of the high deductible health savings account type plans, and because I want to have a catastrophic plan in case, like the 18-year-old we talked about earlier, that I have a car accident, something like that big happens. But I want to drive my health care to where I want to drive it. And I use a lot of alternative care. I have chiropractor, I have an acupuncturist, I have people that are in my corner to patch me up when I do something ridiculous to myself. And I find that they actually fix problems versus then medicate and mask them. And that's the care I choose to use. And because I can save money on a tax-free basis in the health savings account, I can direct them that way. You have less choice when you want somebody else to pay for it.
Well, I've been listening to Doc Wallach ever since he started on KSCO. It's been a great education.
Mm-hmm.
Consequence, the last two physicals I've had, the only thing the doctor told me to do was to keep doing whatever I'm doing.
Uh-huh. Good.
And I needed no medical.
That happens an awful lot with people who pay attention to Doc.
Yeah.
They poke fun at him. They say he sounds like a broken record. You're a perfect
candidate
in the healthy start pack. You know, but it's so funny. When people get sick enough, and they spend so much money with their doctors and the doctors are well-meaning,
mm-hmm.
but the doctors do what doctors do because they went to medical schools that were endowed by the pharmaceutical companies. They're going to prescribe pharmaceutical after pharmaceutical.
They get almost no education on nutrition or preventive care. They get a lot of education on fixing disease, but not on preventing disease.
Exactly. And so when people finally get sick enough to say, well, gee, the way I've been doing it isn't working. Maybe I ought to try what this funny man says.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take care of myself by taking all the 90 essential nutrients that the body needs. Maybe I really should try that. What have I got to lose? A little bit of money, you know? And whereas the other way, with prescription drugs, every one of which by definition has side effects that are going to require that you take more prescription drugs with more side effects. How many people do you know, Pamela, who are on polypharmacy, who have 10, 12, 15, 20 prescriptions?
The average nationwide is 9 prescriptions per year for every individual. Now, there's a lot of us who take none. I have some clients that have 30. So, you know, but average is 9 prescriptions.
But I think it's poison. And what pharmacist Ben says,
he's
great,
his message is, you know, and he's a pharmacist. Imagine a pharmacist who hates prescription drugs.
Yeah, I know.
He says, he says prescription drugs, last resort, when you're dying. Not first resort, that'll probably make you die.
Yeah, you know, there's stuff like, you know, penicillin or things that have definitely saved lives. There's, it's not an all bad sort of thing, you know, there's, but it's something that prevention is where we should be putting our focus, and that would drive healthcare costs down if we just, most of us quit getting sick or got rid of at least a lot of the chronic type of diseases that we frankly bring upon ourselves to some great extent.
I have made a New Year's resolution, and it's already, we're going into month five already, or pretty soon. But my New Year's resolution is to put all the resources and energy I can into getting Pharmacist Ben's message out on many, many more stations. He does have a syndicated radio show. It airs live on KOMY 1340. From 8 to 9 a.m. weekdays, and it's called The Bright Side with Pharmacist Ben. It's on half a dozen or so other stations. It should be on hundreds.
He's great.
On many hundreds of stations.
I like it when he calls in on Rosie's show in the morning or different things I catch him in. Yeah.
So I just made a deal with the premier, this morning, as a matter of fact, with the premier industry stand, the Bible of the talk radio industry, to promote Pharmacist Ben, and my goal is to have him by the end of the year on a couple hundred stations instead of six or seven.
Pamela, one quick question.
Yeah, sure.
No, I'll take your comment on the air if that's okay.
Sure.
Do you see an increase in the practice known as medical vacations? You know, the people.
Oh yeah, medical tourism. It's a huge industry.
They can outsource also, just like these companies.
A lot of the larger companies, especially more on the East Coast. On the East Coast, their healthcare costs are dramatically higher than ours are here on the West Coast. We actually have the lowest, believe that or not. No one ever believes me. But it's in all the magazines, you know, my trade things is we actually do pay less for healthcare here on the West Coast per capita than the East Coast. Northeast is the highest, then the South, Midwest, and then us. So it's a direct trickle to us being on the least expensive side. And a lot of that is our prevention nature. But in the East Coast, because the costs are so high, let's say if you're, you know, General Motors and you're self-insuring, they are their own insurance company. And so they will often give an employee an option of saying, okay, you need a hip replacement. You can go to India with your family and have that done, and there will be no cost to you out of your pocket. Or you can have it done at the hospital here near your house, and it's the $10,000 deductible out-of-pocket max that your plan contains. Your choice, which would you prefer?
Yeah, that's very – I've read about this. Fortunately, I have no need for that at this point. But I'm only 60.
I got exposed to it about 4 years ago. I went to a conference, and it was about consumer-directed healthcare. But in the conference, in the next ballroom, you know, at this giant place in Las Vegas, was about medical tourism. And so when our expo was there, they had booths from Singapore. You know, there's cities in Mexico that have sprung up as a medical.
Should we do a Saturday special on that topic?
Medical tourism?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there should be, if there is, perhaps there
dental
is.
Tourism, that's an even bigger one, because a lot of people are like, I don't know, getting a hip in India, that's a little outside my comfort zone. But if you want to give me a cap, crown, or root canal, maybe I'm all in on that one.
Do you know what the difference in costs is?
Staggering. Staggering.
Okay, so, I mean, I think, what is it? It's like $3,000 for a root canal and a crown or something here?
You can pay for your trip.
Oh, many times over, I think. That's what I've heard.
Actually, I vacationed a few times in Cabo, and at the same resort, when you go from the airport to the resort I like to stay at, you'll see on the highway, you know, all the billboards, and it's, you know, beer, tequila, dentist, you know, and their hospital is actually called the American Hospital. It's the name of the hospital. They fly the American flag, the Canadian flag, and the Mexican flag in their main.
Well, costs are much less there, so they're obviously able to do it.
Yeah,
but
so
are the costs that much less than here? Can a really smart dentist, you know, come up with a fee schedule that's half of what it is now and still be competitive. It'll be way more than if you go to Mexico, but it won't be way more.
Well, there's dentists who sometimes you get what you pay for in the actual, let's say, the crown. That, like, we do have some labs here that make crowns that they're probably going to stay in your mouth 30, 40 years, you know, even with a lot of wear. Then there's people who outsource those things to China. And, well, they'll send a little CAD drawing of what you needed, and it shows up in the mail, but it actually was manufactured in China.
Doesn't that have to be disclosed?
No, I didn't even know that this existed until the most recent dentist that I went to explained to me, you know, because I'm on like the 10-year plan of dental. While I've been very lucky health-wise, don't even ask me what I spend at the dentist. I could buy a car every year.
What do you spend at the dentist?
I knew you would ask that. Yeah. So last year was a bad year. My daughter and I, between the two of us, she had 4 wisdom teeth out. I had 3 crowns, a couple of fillings, and something else, you know. So, I mean, I could have bought a car. But this will serve me more.
Could I throw in one comment?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
My sister-in-law visits a dentist in Mexico, just across the border.
Mm-hmm.
She is an instructor, a professor at one of the major universities in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
Very advanced, state-of-the-art. It cost her about half.
Mm-hmm. I would say, half would be a good estimate.
And now, it seems, I'll just throw out one comment that I'll clear out. It seems, I don't know, perhaps this exists already. It seems this would be an intelligent approach to insurance that ties in the overseas medical of quality care overseas at reduced cost. And that seems that would, somebody should offer mm-hmm. that.
There is a group that offers it, but it's typically in the agriculture. You know, they can only sell policies to people who are in the agricultural area. And they actually own their own hospitals and their own clinics in border towns along the southern part of the United States, you know, in those 3 or 4 border cities, the main ones. And if you have your services here, it's, again, you have your deductible and whatever your coinsurance is. If you go down there, it's $50 for the surgery, the medicine, everything. It's $50. You just go in. Everything is $50.
I think Michael made an excellent comment. I think this would be a very interesting topic for a Saturday special. And I should leave and let some other people get in here. I thank you very much for this program. It's great.
Thanks for calling.
You're
thanks for
welcome,
listening on
Dan
Thursdays.
In Pacific Grove, tell everybody you know about KSCO, whether you think they know or not. Richard N. Watsonville, you're on the air.
Thank you, Michael. Healthcare is hurting. I got a friend that's down in Tijuana, and he's got a pharmacy down there. You go down there, go upstairs and see the doctor. You pay him. He gives you the prescription. You go down and get your medicine from my buddy Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's good or not, but that's what they're doing down there. That's what he's doing.
Is that in Tijuana?
Yes, he's very happy down there, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are down there practicing medicine or dentistry who were trained at UCLA, UCSF, you know, they came here for their education, but set up systems there.
He came here as illegal to pick up, you know, whatever he could out of them fields, and then he got hooked up with a friend down in Tijuana that brought him down there because he knew how the system was running up here.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing is, to me, I would think that these people you're talking about, UCLA, these medical schools and stuff like that, they should have no money to owe at the end of their schooling. In other words, if you can take the next step up, the next test, you keep going. And then if you get a degree, you don't owe any debt. You get assigned to a hospital, or maybe you get, you're a cardiologist, a heart doctor, and you got a choice of 20 to 30 hospitals to choose from. You can go do your work.
There are programs like that now that Palo Alto Medical Clinic has a system. A lot of people are like, wow, my doctor's, you know, it seems like I'm always getting a new doctor. A lot of times that's their program. They come and they get paid very little.
But
right,
you were in
out
the military,
school.
Pam. Were in the military. You should be over at the VA clinic running the business office.
But I like and living here, Richard. I like Watsonville.
I understand that.
There's no VA clinic here, or I might have taken that tact.
What I'm saying is there's a lot of veterans in Watsonville and Santa Cruz County that could probably use a person like you, and I thought you were going to go to that school and take that training to become an assister and a navigator.
I'm not allowed to by law because I have an insurance license.
Well, 2 weeks ago, you were going to take that class.
No, there's a class for insurance agents that's different, but we will not be called an assister or a navigator.
What would happen if you got rid of your insurance license? Would it be the death penalty?
not a matter of getting rid of the insurance.
Be the death penalty on my income.
It's getting it organized so that, you know,
no,
military
I plan
doctors
on
doctors should
on
be
teaching.
In the VA.
Yeah.
Why aren't military doctors in the VA? Why do I got to go talk to civilian people that come out and they're just there for the money and the retirement?
Most people that were doctors in the military, when they retire from the military, they
most of those
retire.
People you'll see at Palo Alto, not at the clinics around here.
No.
And I'm so tired of talking to civilians that just don't care and they really should retire.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of going to places like Dominican or Community Watsonville. These places there where actually the doctors and the nurses should have their parking spaces right there in the emergency section. I'm serious.
I try and avoid the system as much as possible and take the preventive tact myself for as much as possible. And I realize I've been blessed with good health and, you know, not everybody can do that. So it's no judgment on people who do have to use a lot of health care.
But yet there is judgment. I mean,
I don't have any judgment on it.
No, if you're a Medicare patient in the hospital, you got 100 days, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. But maximum would be 100 days.
Right.
It's terrifying what's going on out there. And it's no wonder to me, you know, I mean, doctors should not have to pay taxes, period.
I'm sure they would like to hear that.
Yeah, if they didn't pay taxes and if they did not have to worry about a degree out of the university, paying that back, and they got their degree, then they're on an assigned amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're doing the work on you, the operation on you, and they're not worrying about at the same time whether they're going to make that mortgage or not.
And there will be programs like that coming out.
Or get sued.
Yeah.
Make the wrong decision, like these false positive tests Michael's mm-hmm. talking about.
Yeah. Now, there's a lot of things that, you know, are possibly hidden in the law that, you know, a lot of different things will come out. The one thing that capitalist society is good at is, okay, now there's a problem, but we will find a way to fix it and in so doing create a business or create an opportunity out
but
of that.
But there really isn't a capitalist society anymore.
Well, no, there still is. There's people who are like, okay, show me a problem. Okay, so if I can find a way to help people with that, like Doc Wallach and his vitamins, okay?
But see, because of your teeth, though, you couldn't get a car. But yet,
you can
go to your computer and you can get a hold of Ford, and then you can go ahead and have that Ford ordered over to North Bay.
I could get
Ford,
a car if I was willing to do payments, but then I would, you know, that's not in my value system to do that.
I'm a cash and carry
kind of gal.
Everybody is cutting out the middleman. That's what it's coming down to now.
Are there any middlemen out there in KSCO land that object to being cut out? Please call 479-1080 and give us your perspective, because we want perspectives from everybody.
The insurance industry,
we all know who they are.
Right, brokers will soon, in the next few years, probably be cut out of the system completely.
Well, look at these mortgage brokers
right.
on these houses. When are they going to get it in their heads that when they lower it down to 1%, it'll be over?
A place for middlemen. Now you got me thinking.
There's another topic, see?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like you know, there's all these guys that are...
A place for displaced middlemen.
They have strokes and heart attacks over 0.25%. And I said, huh? You know, it's crazy.
All right, Richard N. Watsonville,
thank you so much
for calling. 479-1080 has one line open, but... Truth be known, there are lots of lines open. I don't know why they're not jammed. It's a fascinating topic. Maybe the reason they're not jammed is because nobody has anything to contribute because they're learning so damn much. I mean, I hope that's the reason.
Well, people learn by listening to other people's questions,
right.
So call with your questions anyway.
479-1080. Here's Rich and Salinas. Thank you, Rich, for waiting as long as you did. You're on the air now.
Not a problem. I missed the first hour of the program, so I don't know if the question that I have is pertinent or not, but I'm interested in finding out what is it Pamela?
Uh-huh.
I believe? Yeah, is it what's your take or the information you have on This past March 23rd, in the health care bill, they officially are allowed to legally chip us with all of our health care information and our bank accounts so they can deduct it right off the top so they don't have to worry about us not paying.
I haven't heard that.
That became official March 23rd, 2013. And it's still now law that they can chip us. So if they don't, let's say a martial law situation.
By chip us, you mean, insert a chip in our body like they do for aminals. And that's a good thing because you can find your aminal that way who's lost. But unless you have Alzheimer's, I don't think you should be chipped against your will.
Yeah, they can't chip you against your will.
Are you sure you got that right, Rich and Salinas?
Absolutely. It's in the health care bill.
They can't get electronic records working correctly at this point, so I would say we may have to concern ourselves with that years down the road. It's not something to concern you with right now.
But inserting a pacemaker? You know, that's a voluntary thing.
Yeah, and they do have the technology to do it.
Of course they do, but it shouldn't. You shouldn't be forced to have a pacemaker if you don't need it or want it. You shouldn't be forced to have a...
I read the end of the book, man. It doesn't end well for those people.
Well, like the government tends to do, they like to put things on the books that we're not aware of that are available for them down the road when it is time to
That's
do it.
True, yeah.
So they're not going to use it now, but it's there, and it is legal because it officially became legal March 23rd.
Right.
But you don't know nothing about it at this point.
It's not something I'm worried. There's so much to worry about that is like tomorrow.
Right.
But is it in there? Right now, what we saw.
It's been passed. The health bill has been passed, and there's been plenty of time for us to find out what's in it.
Well, it's not that. It's what they passed is like the outline. When you went to college and you were told to write a thesis, you wrote an outline, and then you had to go and fill in the paragraphs of that thesis. So what we saw, that huge monstrosity, was merely the outline. They are still writing the paragraphs that fill in the blanks, and each state is filling in the blanks differently.
Do you know what I'm going to say now?
I'm afraid to even ask.
Oy vey.
Oh, there we go.
Hey, by the way, MZ, I second the motion on getting Ben Fuchs on there, if you can, 2 or 3 hours. And also Joyce Riley, anything going on with her and getting her on in the morning?
Joyce is fantastic. She is fantastic.
I know it.
And she believes in longevity, too.
She promotes it.
She does promote it.
And she has the doctors on also.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, look, we're going to – but we've – and you know who else? Have you heard of Mary Lou Henner?
Yeah.
The Mary Lou Henner. Guess who's become a spokesperson for longevity, effective immediately.
She is
starting her own 3-hour daily lifestyles program that I believe is going to be carried live on KOMY from 4 to 7 a.m. weekdays. And we hope to have her on a bunch of radio stations around the country.
Four to seven in the afternoon?
No, in the morning. In the morning.
In the morning. Well, see, that's where I wanted you to get Joyce Riley on in the morning from 5 to 8.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But we want to help boot up Mary Lou Henner here too. She's got such a big name from Taxi and from Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump and so forth that
she's personable too.
She's the nicest person. Yeah. I had dinner with her a month ago in L.A. with her husband. And
the last thing is what is going on with Troy? Remember you had Troy as a guest on?
Troy is a wonderful man.
Yeah.
What is going on with Troy?
Well, remember you were going to talk to him about having a central hub for all the stuff that's going on, including healthcare, and where we can help each other, a central location for all the information.
Yeah.
On the truth.
Thank you for bringing that up. I must have attention deficit disorder because, yeah, you're right. No,
He just had an aha moment.
He sends me emails periodically that touch a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really, really like this guy, Troy.
He cooks a good burger, too.
I didn't know that.
I'm always a little hesitant, being the first time he ever called my show. It was about saving money by using roadkill, so I do look for the wrappers, I must say.
And Rosie told me, he uses roadkill, MZ. We're not sure. He used to bring he brings a lot of food to the radio station, and we're not sure we want to consume it because it might be roadkill. I think that's just a joke. I don't think that's real.
Well, maybe organic, though.
Yeah.
I don't think it's real. And I was looking at Pamela Fugit-Hetrick, and she was strange. She was pregnantly silent.
I was no judgment. You know what I mean? It's a means to the end. People eat some strange stuff. We all live through it.
Troy is a cool guy, and he's a special friend of the radio station. We appreciate him. Thank you very much, Rich and Salinas. Who is next? Who has been waiting the longest to get on your favorite radio station? Would it be Saint and Hollister? By the way, where are the women folk? I haven't heard any women folk on as callers. You're a women folk. My mom is a women folk.
Yes.
But there have been zero women folk callers today, and I have this empty feeling. I have this empty feeling. And 479-1080, if you're a woman folk, call now. Okay, Saint, you're on.
That's very funny. Well, I just wanted to impart something that Pamela probably is very well aware of. My daughter was an undergraduate and a graduate student at Johns Hopkins, which is one of the better medical schools, and she was pre-med. And they had a lot of European students that came in, and she became friends with them. And she was thinking about going into the medical field as a doctor. And they said, don't do that. And she, why? And all of them had the same thing. Because it has to be a calling, like a priest. Because you're underpaid and overworked in Europe.
Yeah.
And they could see we were going to a socialist society. So she went into biochemical engineering, and now she's a scientist working on cancer research. And when you talk about big drug companies, don't put them down, because they are spending a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, when I say a lot of money,
that's why the brand name drugs, when they first come out, are so expensive. They have to recoup a huge amount of years and years of payout for a new drug that they produce. So
you're exactly right, because they're doing cancer research. And they have been, and now she's doing that, which she has several friends that are lawyers that came out of Hopkins, and they think her work is much more important than theirs is, and they're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
But believe me, the medical field is going to get trimmed down, because the Europeans already know, if you're a doctor in Europe, you are getting probably about the same wage as a bricklayer, and you're working twice as much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different community over there, to be certain, and it's going that direction here. You'd very rarely see independent doctors coming out of, you know, certainly when you first come out of school, you have so much to pay back that you can't afford also the overhead of starting your own practice, that type of thing. So you go to work for the Kaiser, the Sutter, the, you know, Physicians Medical Group, you know, into these larger practices, and you're more of an employee than, you know, the Marcus Welby kind of ideal. Maybe some of us are old enough to remember.
Marcus Welby passed away.
Yeah.
Well, and you talk about insurance. Their malpractice. My wife was an ICU nurse, and she just retired this year.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to take, the hospital had it, but she had to carry insurance on her own. Insurance for doctors and nurses and the whole medical profession, because we are such a litigious society. In fact, her friends tell her, and they, Bolt Hall, two of them came out of Bolt Hall, and the first thing they learn out of that, when they're learning, they look around and here's a lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have friends that are still in, you know, actively practicing. One of them just, you know, dropped his practice. He was a high-risk OBGYN in another state, and his malpractice insurance in the Midwest was $300,000 a year. So this goes into when you wonder how come, you know, your bill is so expensive. Different specialties. I'm sure your heart surgeon's malpractice insurance is a staggering number. versus maybe a general practitioner who just sees the coughs, colds, you know, stitches, those type of things would be less. But different practices have different amounts of malpractice that they have to cover.
Saint, want to thank you for your call to the Saturday special. We got a lot. We finally have a full board of calls here, and that makes me
always
happy
when
all
it's
the
last 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, and Marilyn, who is presumably a woman folk, has decided to call. And we're going to take Marilyn. We're going to put Marilyn to the head of the line here because she. Hi, Marilyn. Thank you for being a woman folk who.
Yes, I
answered
I'm
my call.
I'm not a transgendered person or anything. I am a woman.
We're not going to get to talk about that today after all.
No,
maybe that'll be the whole next Saturday special about single leading to a discussion of heterosexuality, homosexuality, bisexuality, and asexuality. Did you know about asexuality? I mean, I just found out about asexuality, and it's fascinating.
Right, that's like
I'll bet there are more asexual people out there than anybody can imagine, and I'll bet they're not afraid to come out of the closet as gays have been traditionally. Now I know that's changing too, but maybe we'll get into that next Saturday special. But thank you for calling.
I am calling about medical. In fact, I told people at the senior citizen center this: if you are on Medicare. Mm-hmm. And you go to emergency, if you call 911, then call your doctor, or if you take yourself to emergency, before you get there, call your doctor. Because my husband, I took him to emergency, he's on Medicare, but we have supplemental insurance, and we called our doctor, he said, well, I'll call and let him know you're coming. And so my husband had a temperature of 102 in severe pain. They came out after all the tests and said you have blood in your urine, you have gallstones, your sugar is elevated, but your pain level is only 2, so we're sending you home. And listen to this. So
the magic number is 5.
Yeah, so just
everyone should remember. Magic number, 5.
So, 6 or more.
Guess what? They said, but we will be calling your doctor. And so when our doctor heard that, he said immediately put him in the hospital. And at 7 o'clock that night, he came in and said, well, with all the complications you had, because he has other medical problems, he said, you'll probably be in the hospital about 12 days. But emergency was going to send him home. And a friend of ours is a paramedic, and he says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go to emergency, you call your doctor first.
Yeah. And
because
it's
if you're on
Medicare, good that
people, they're going to want to get rid of you.
Yeah, there that a little bit will be changing with some of the new laws. One of the better things is that people who get bounced out of hospitals and then readmitted within a certain amount of time, there's going to be some huge penalties and fines for that. So,
even from emergency, huh?
Yeah, so I think that some of that may stand to improve. You're in a tough county.
Yeah, I know.
The climate in Monterey is different than the climate in Santa Cruz.
Well, the problem is, too, with Obamacare is that Medicare payments are going to be dropped another 20%.
Right. So Medicare payments
are already
low. They're low because we're rural counties. We get our doctors
just,
here get
just
paid
when
low.
I'm going to be eligible for Medicare.
Well, I know. Well, you know,
it's the story of my life.
But you'll like the premium.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, that's the one time people come to my office and kind of do the happy dance. But
well, I'm a retired manager from a from AT&T, and I've already lost 2 benefits because of Obamacare. And most people don't realize that corporations or companies that provide insurance for their people are going to be penalized $63 per person.
Actually, it's more than
providing
that.
Providing insurance, and also too, Obama, lovely people in the Washington D.C. excused the unions, so they're not penalized. And Pelosi has been excusing, I don't know how many companies and businesses in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So it's just great. But
there's a lot of people jockeying for a position.
Bitter, but I'm not. So anyway, that was it.
You were with AT&T, Maryland, and Santa Cruz.
No, I actually was with AT&T. I had an office in Sacramento and an office in.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. When I said Maryland and Santa Cruz, I meant Maryland in your Maryland in calling from Santa Cruz. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
so
me.
were you like Miss Tomlin of the telephone company on Laughing?
No, I happened to have a couple of large companies, and I was actually a manager, and I was a salesperson. I sold different systems
phone
and
systems.
Helped them. with how to manage their company and change out and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but oh, I've already lost two benefits, so whoopee.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hang on to what you can, and
I know.
And
well, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, 479-1080 is the phone number to call. You've got probably got a chance to get in before the end of the show, even though we have three callers that we have yet to put on. The next of whom will be Michael in Salinas. Hi, Michael.
Hello. I just wanted to ask a real quick question here regarding the cost. I heard recently of a place called Surgical Center of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Where the doctors got together and they basically cut their cost down to about 20-25% of what they were charging before.
It is possible. There's some unique business models coming out. I was in meetings with a concierge doctor in Monterey area who is now taking it nationwide, these types of clinics that are more like a gym membership. You pay a flat fee per month, and it's very reasonable, like $59 a month. To be part of this clinic, and you can call them up anytime and go in and see your doctor for $10. Now, they're not going to have hospital services. They don't, you know, it's basic primary care, but it's really fabulous.
I'd be willing to pay twice that.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to pay $120.
It's a great business model. So this was
and
that
$20
whole...
if they would have all those services. Do you think that model could work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so there's always going to be limitations on what you can provide at that level. But the nice thing is, you have a doctor that gets to know you. Now if you go in, if I called as a woman to make an appointment at the women's clinic to have, you know, the annual exam, pap mammogram, that I would probably get told that the next available appointment is sometime late in the summer, August or something, you know, here on August 2nd at 9 o'clock. Are you available? How do I know? You know, sure, sign me up. So we're with this other type of model. I could go in and say, you know, I could probably get in that day. They tend to, like, leave half their day open. The doctors love it. The doctors are mainly people who have practiced for many years, and now this is kind of part of maybe of their semi-exit strategy. They like that whole face-to-face, give you 30 full minutes kind of thing. You know, if you have a chronic disease like diabetes or something, they actually know you, you know. So, I mean, there's some really valuable things that are coming out of it, but it's not coming out of the new healthcare bill. It's coming out of people coming up with solutions for a problem.
All righty. Hey, Michael, hope that helped. Thanks for calling KSCO, your favorite radio station. David in Santa Cruz, you're next.
Hey, Michael, I just want to let you know I always appreciate SEO. I listen to Rosemary in the morning and Charlie in the afternoons. I appreciate the traffic updates.
We appreciate that you appreciate.
My question today has to do with my HMO plan and the specialists that I'm allowed to see. I have a specialist that I've been seeing for the last 10 years or so. He's elected to go to a different insurance agency or a different group here mm-hmm. in Santa Cruz. And so I've got one group of specialists that my HMO allows me to see. And these specialists have three doctors in their group. And I recently had problems, realized I needed help, went in to see them, and found out that one of these doctors has medical malpractice and a public reprimand against him. That doctor and another doctor are currently being investigated by the FBI for Medicare fraud. And the third doctor is a female, for which the issue that I'm trying to address, I would rather have
that was
a male
not what
doctor.
Yeah, you had planned. Yeah, that's one of the challenges of HMOs, and for people who don't know, Kaiser is an HMO, but here in Santa Cruz we have two main medical groups. One is specializing in the HMO kind of model, which has its pluses and minuses, and the other is more of a fee-for-service, pay-as-you-go, PPO type of model.
Is a little of both.
Right, and so when you... have an HMO, you pick a primary care doctor, and that doctor is your gatekeeper who sends you to the specialists and things that are in their system. You sometimes get low, you know, no deductibles or very low copays. That's the perk of an HMO, is that your costs, so to speak, are lower. Typically, your premiums are higher, but you don't have the element of choice that you have with a PPO. I'm myself, a PPO kind of girl, but it's not a one-size-fits-all world. And
there are opportunities for me to go see another specialist if my doctor
will refer you there.
Yes, mm-hmm. and he did, mm-hmm. and it was rejected. And so the next step is to go to the insurance and explain to them, and I'm wondering, are there key phrases? Are there things that you can recommend so that I can find a way to go back to my doctor that I've had for the last 15 years?
So the research and some key phrases are, one, what we say doesn't really matter, but what your doctor says matters more. If your gatekeeper doctor is willing to put in writing that there is a known thing that this doctor you want to go to does, that's unique to your situation and medically necessary, that carries a lot more weight than anything else we can possibly say. Oftentimes, the situation is that particular specialist or doctor's fees are, he doesn't have a contract with the HMO, or if he does, the contracted rates are much higher. Typically more often that he's not contracted as an HMO, specialist. So, yeah,
right.
It's, that's one of the downsides of managed care. That's one of the downsides, when people talk about single payer, which is a version of managed care, is that element of freedom of choice, it's a give and take. You take some of the privileges of paying less, you give some of the freedom of having so much choice.
Got it.
So, it's if that matters to you more, then perhaps the PPO type of model where you have more flexibility and freedom to choose where you want to go and not have a gatekeeper physician,
you still have to meet medical necessity,
but there's typically way more options.
We do have that option. It's just that the cost of doing that for this procedure that I'm going to have is exorbitant.
So, right.
Michael, one last word. Shame on you for being tardy today.
What did he say?
Shame on you for being tardy.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
But it was not in my control. It was an act of God.
We
it wasn't. Wait a minute. A falling sign. Did we decide that was an act of God, like a falling tree?
I don't know. The falling sign was on the freeway when I came through, too. But
I know you've got another caller out there. Thanks
we sure do. Poor Rory in Watsonville must be so frustrated because he's been waiting 12, 28, 29. Thank you, David, in Santa Cruz. Rory, you get the distinction of being the last caller on
last
the Saturday special for Saturday in the 13th of April in the year of our Lord, 2013.
Very good, thank you. Hey, quick anecdote. My mom's doctor that delivered most of us kids in our family, there was 8 of us, and this shows you how long ago it was and how things have changed, but when malpractice insurance became mandatory, he retired.
Mm-hmm.
And he had never been sued. There had never been any issues. So we've come a long way, baby, and in the wrong direction. The other thing that prompted me to call, and I'm like you, Pamela, and Michael, I'm all about prevention. Yes, Doc Wallach inspired me somewhat 15, 18 years ago, however long it's been now. Get ahead of the curve, people. Learn, listen, take nutrition, modify your diet, stay away from the garbage. This is very important. It's the only way you're going to beat this system, because once you get into their system, God help you.
Yeah,
poor health.
That's a good point, and also get educated on how to work in the system. It's so easy for us to go off in these political tangents of we like this, we want that. But, for right now, let's just learn to deal with what we have and know what your policy covers and doesn't cover and how to get what you need.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Pam, because you do help us understand that complicated Byzantine system. But the other thing I'll say is the other caller said, don't berate the drug companies, and okay, great, but I do berate the drug company. What other business in this land got a indemnity from lawsuit, and with the vaccine manufacturers, they've got a vaccine injury fund. So if you think your kid's been injured by a vaccine, you cannot sue that pharmaceutical. You can only go to this fund that Congress created because the drug companies are powerful. And I hold them to blame in many respects. Just look at all the psych meds that are floating out there and the
that's a huge cost driver of healthcare, as well as the medications and the ones for mental illness are very expensive.
When you see the drug, the sales guy that's coming around pushing the new drug, hold up a cross.
Well, I can't really say too much because I did work for Abbott Laboratories at one time, but I worked with the medical devices and not the drugs. But
well, then you're off the hook, Tim. All right, thank you. I'll let you guys wrap up. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Rory. Hey, always a pleasure, Pamela. Thanks for coming down here.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. And Rick did a stellar job, as he always does, being the pilot in command right here on the Saturday special. We didn't get to talk about singleism and asexuality, but maybe next time. You never
I'll
know.
Be at a dog show, but okay. You have a good time with that.
Okay, thank you very much. Pamela Fugit-Hetrick. That's about it. Tune in to, stay tuned in to KSEO, your favorite radio station.
That's all.
Learn to turn off the mic when you clear your throat. KSEO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. Here's CBS News.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. 2 months into a hunger strike, prisoners clashed with guards at the Guantanamo Bay detainee camp today. It happened after prisoners protesting their confinement blocked surveillance cameras. Colonel Gregory Julian with the U.S. Southern Command says prisoners were moved from communal to single cells.
We just couldn't keep a good eye on them, and in light of the fact that they're having a hunger strike, it was important for us to be able to properly monitor them in the event that we needed to provide medical care.
There's still 166 inmates at Gitmo. On a visit to Beijing today, Secretary of State John Kerry said the U.S. and China are determined to find a peaceful way to ensure the Korean Peninsula is nuclear-free.
We both call on North Korea to refrain from any provocative steps. And that obviously refers to any future missile shoot.
Kerry ends his three-nation Asia trip in Japan tomorrow. President Obama wants the voices of Sandy Hook to be heard. He gave over his weekly media address to Francine Wheeler, whose six-year-old son was killed in the Newtown shooting rampage. She called on the Senate to pass tougher gun restrictions.
I feel Ben's presence filling me with courage for what I have to do. For him and all the others taken from us so violently and too soon.
Indiana Congresswoman Jackie Walorski focused on the budget in the GOP address.
Our balanced budget repeals Obamacare so we can address the problems it is causing, like making it harder to hire and driving up health care costs.
She said a balanced budget means a healthier economy, more jobs, and a brighter future for our kids. A jet carrying more than 100 people went off the runway and into the ocean when landing in Bali today. KCBS reporter Doug Sovereign happened to be there and says up to 45 people were hurt, but no one was killed.
Lion Air has a pretty spotty record, and there have been a lot of plane crashes actually in Indonesia over the last few years, a few fatal ones. This one, fortunately, not fatal, incredibly actually, that it wasn't.
A very pink tribute to spring in the nation's capital today.
From military bands to locals, plus groups from as far away as Japan, the National Cherry Blossom Festival parade along the National Mall, including Miss America and big balloons.
Some of them look pretty.
We're all very excited to see the parade and the guys in their uniforms.
Pockets to play.
What's it like when you're walking down with thousands of people?
It is outstanding. Just fun to be out here, having the kids come up to you.
Enjoying it.
It's nice and warm. Don't need a coat after the long winter. It's awesome.
Max Smith for CBS News, Washington.
Tiger Woods is playing round three at the Masters, but he was almost tossed out of the tournament for a ball placement violation. He was assessed a two-stroke penalty instead, Dial Global golf expert Mark Carnival.
I would think if Tiger was not comfortable with it, he would disqualify himself.
Jason Day is at the top of the leaderboard. This is CBS News.
Hi, this is John Greenhut, the CEO of PowerSwab's Teeth Whitening System. If you can have a bright white smile in 5 minutes, would I get your attention? You bet I would. The good news is the PowerSwab's Teeth Whitening System is clinically proven to whiten your teeth in 5 minutes. The secret is a tooth detergent that was developed by Dr. Martin Ginniger that lifts stains off of your teeth. In fact, PowerSwab's whitens teeth on average 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days. And it's easy. There's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and that's it. Oh, and better yet, unlike normal whiteners, Power Swabs works on caps, crowns, and veneers. To try Power Swabs risk-free, dial 1-800-963-8533. That's 1-800-963-8533. I guarantee your friends, family, and co-workers will love your movie star white smile. Try it risk-free today. That's 1-800-963-8533. 1-800-963-8533.
Cash-strapped European countries are pondering new ways to go after tax evaders.
As they're slashing their budgets for lack of funds, EU governments are losing an estimated $1.3 trillion every year in uncollected taxes and undetected corruption. Now Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Poland, and Spain say it's time to fight harder against tax evasion and tax havens, starting with a proposal to automatically share banking information across borders. French Finance Minister Pierre Moscovici.
Nobody can deny that the banks secrecy is outdated.
But one country does deny it. Austria says it will fiercely protect its banking secrecy laws, blasting the new initiative as government snooping. Terry Schultz for CBS News, Brussels.
For the first time anyone can remember, Venice's Grand Canal will be closed to motorboats tomorrow. The goal is to call attention to the damage done to canal banks by the wake of boats and reduce air and water pollution, at least briefly. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
It's 12:05 on this Saturday, April 13th. You're listening to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, online at KSCO.com. I'm Rick O'Shea with a traffic and weather update. Highway 1 in both directions, very slow, all because of the construction at La Fonda. Northbound 1 is very heavy from Soquel into Santa Cruz. Southbound 1, heavy traffic between Morrissey and Soquel, but it does break up just after that. Sunny skies this afternoon, temperatures in the 60s and 70s. On KSCO, time for Perspectives.
Loud fans.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name is Donald Davidson. I am your host. Joining me.